Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. This is the conference expansion emergency podcast. Hopefully that didn't sound too super serious, but breaking news today, we are recording on Thursday, June 30th. Breaking news today was that it looks imminent that the USC Trojans and the UCLA Bruins are going to leave the Pac-12 and head to the Big Ten. What we know so far is that it looks like a deal is in place. Nothing has been signed, nothing is super official, but it seems like, to steal a football term, they're at the 1 yard line. That's what it looks like. It also looks like the Big Ten won't be done at 16 teams. I think Nicole Auerbach said that, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten could change, could gobble up more teams and become two, quote, mega conferences with 20 teams each. So we'll see. This is just the beginning. So I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We also have Alex Compton as well joining us to talk about Big Ten expansion. TJ, what are your initial thoughts of this? Right now, just USC and UCLA potentially joining the Big Ten.
Well, we started to see rumblings about this kind of, it was about noon this morning. And I initially thought, well, I guess I get it, you know, from just a money standpoint with the TV contract being negotiated currently. But, you know, surely we're not going here yet. Like, it's just such a, in my head, it's such a foreign thing to think about USC and UCLA being in the Big Ten. I know it's not this way anymore, but the geography doesn't matter now. And I get that rationally, but I still go back to, holy cow, there's going to be, you know, conference games involving Indiana playing USC and Indiana playing UCLA. And that is completely and totally foreign and difficult for me to wrap my head around. But from a strictly money sense, as it relates to the upcoming TV contract, this is absolutely going to break the bank and provide an unprecedented amount of revenue for the schools that are in the Big Ten, including the Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, and I'll ask Alex this in a second, but it looks like, you know, we expected the original deal without all the expansion talks to be above $1 billion. So you would expect it to be a lot more. You get the LA market and whatever other markets they end up adding on. Alex, how big of a deal is this for the TV rights deal? And is this the main reason why we've been waiting so long for a TV rights deal in the Big Ten to be announced? Something that we kind of expected to happen in June?
Hey guys, yeah, I think it was supposed to be done, all reports late May, early June. I think this is exactly why we had a delay with essentially no explanation. And now, you know, everything moved so quickly today, but obviously this has been in the works for a while. USC and UCLA's leadership, both from a university and an athletic department standpoint. They're known to take big swings and do, you know, transformative, imaginative things like this. This is huge. I mean, this is going to be lots of winners for the Big Ten. I understand, you know, and I'm one of them. The history and the traditions part of it is important, but you have to value TV contracts and corporate partnerships now more than ever, or you're going to get left behind. If I'm a school like Cincinnati or Houston that just joined the Big 12, I'm very worried now. Am I going to get left behind now if the Pac-12 poaches the rest of the Big 12? Are they going to combine? I don't know how that's going to work, but adding UCLA and USC will reportedly, the Big 10 now has 5 of the top 7 media markets in the country. I mean, there's just no way to say that that's not a win for the conference. And obviously some of the, you know, the Olympic or non-revenue sports, traveling considerations will be tough. I think we tweeted about it a couple times, but I think it's tougher for UCLA and USC to travel out east that often. Because if you're, you know, thinking about like a basketball schedule or a baseball schedule, you imagine you do both of those road trips in the same week when you're already out there. But I mean, from a rights deal, I think the Big Ten now is just has an insane amount of leverage now. And I think Fox is definitely going to up the value. And I think these subsidiaries, there's talks with like Amazon or NBC for some, you know, special packages or smaller packages. I think the rights of those just shot up as well. Yeah, I think this is going to shatter the records. I've seen reports of per school valuations of close to or over $100 million a year, just for media rights alone. So, I mean, if the Big Ten's at, you know, 16 teams at $100 million each per season, I mean, that's certainly something.
Yeah, and to go back to get off of football for a second, but you also look at USC and UCLA from a baseball and softball standpoint, it really might make it easier for those Big Ten teams to go down and do a warm weather trip early in the season and maybe do like a round robin conference play or, you know, have some neutral site conference plays before moving back up, you know, to these northern cities and playing. So it could work out too that way. But from a football standpoint, Alex, we're going to start nationally. You mentioned the Big 12. I think they're impacted here. But from some other people I've seen is that the Big 12 would expand, especially if the other schools that the Big 10 is potentially looking at, if they grab Oregon and Washington, you could say goodbye to the Pac-12 as a conference. But I've seen models where they have Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah joining the Big 12, which I don't think it's not a horrible conference then, and in the footprint of things makes it pretty solid with adding Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and some other schools and BYU going to the Big 12 as well. You know, I think the Big 12 is a player in there to gobble up some of these teams. Now what will happen with the ACC? Cause there's rumors that the Big 10 will go get on this list from Tom Fornelli, Notre Dame, which counts as ACC, because the rest of their teams are in the ACC, Virginia, North Carolina, or Duke. So it could be a total restructuring. And I think, you know, we'll see when this happens in 2024. I know the Big 12 gets Cincinnati next year. So it's moving a lot quicker than any of us anticipated.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, you know, we've been hearing it for the past decade, and, you know, Notre Dame has an exclusive NBC deal for football and some of their other, you know, broadcast rights. I don't think the Big Ten has ever been more attractive to join than right now. I was reading some things about Notre Dame today. Since they're not technically an ACC football member, they have to pay out their grant of rights to get out of their multimedia rights deal with the ACC. just for the other sports, so not even their football program. So, I mean, if you do that math, and if Notre Dame, obviously, you know, same caliber as like the USC, UCLA type, I mean, if you're going to get $100 million annually, and all you have to do is pay an upfront fee to buy out your, you know, technically non-revenue sports, I don't think there's been a better time for Notre Dame to join. I think that would be another great ad for the conference. I think that's obviously, from a brand and a viewership perspective, another good ad. But I think for people throwing, you know, hypothetical lists and looking at other teams, you have the only school in the Big Ten not affiliated. I think it's called the American Association of Universities, the AAU. The only Big Ten team or school is Nebraska. That's not affiliated with that. USC and UCLA both are. And, you know, we've seen a lot of Kansas. I don't believe Kansas is. So that's why some of the ACC schools like Pitt, North Carolina, Duke, Notre Dame, obviously, and then, you know, some of the other Pac-12 schools. Academics still does matter to the Big Ten presidents. So obviously for a president to sign off on it, the ADs can say whatever they want, but university presidents and boards have to vote on all this kind of stuff. If your list doesn't have schools that are AAU affiliated, I think it's a non-starter.
TJ, I want to ask you about how scheduling could work. I was spitballing a little bit in my head before the show, but is this, we saw the ACC last week come out with a 3-3-5 or 3-5-5 scheduling model that looked like, hey, if the Big Ten was staying at 14 teams, this looks absolutely perfect. Now with at least 16 teams, it'll be a little bit. How do you see the Big Ten working the schedule out a little bit?
I think the first thing we need to say is that any models with 16 teams, I think, will be outdated pretty soon. I would be, at this point, based on what we are kind of reading and sort of putting two and two together, I'd be shocked if it was 16 teams and that was the final number. I think that the Big Ten sees an opportunity right now to maximize their value, and they're looking for ways to maximize their value, or have already looked at ways, already have this lined up, and it's just a matter of when this stuff is going to come out. USC, UCLA comes out today, and maybe it's a matter of time before another two schools, another four schools are announced, and that those reports start leaking out. So any models with 16 teams, I think, would be outdated fairly quickly. The kind of what I put together in my head, just a very rough thing would be, okay, hypothetically adding four more teams, and let's say that it's Oregon and Washington out west, effectively the Pac-12 would be done at that point. So you're adding Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, from the West Coast. And then looking east, you're adding North Carolina would be kind of my, what I think would make the most sense. You're looking north and you're looking, you're looking to the east and you're also looking south. So southeast, a little bit of a different market for the Big Ten. You're looking at the Charlotte market. So another big TV market there. And then Notre Dame, I think, is the one that is kind of the number one target for the Big Ten for a long time. They've had their issues with each other in the past, and I know that there are a number of schools that would probably be opposed to that until those TV numbers get put in your face, and it's, hey, this is what Notre Dame would add to our total value, and then the vote becomes, yes, they're in. So if you add those four, you're looking at 20 teams, and I think you could have somewhat of a geographical breakdown with almost four kind of five-team little pods or divisions, and you're playing those four teams in your pod every season in football, and then you are playing I don't know. I guess you would have to do some sort of rotation where you're playing a home and away with, you know, the other, I guess, teams in those other pods, and you're finding a way to rotate it. I don't think it would be fair or equitable, but IU fans are used to that, having been in the Big Ten East for a while.
Oh yeah, I'm totally waiting for
the Indiana perspective. I don't think it can get a whole lot worse. I say that, and look
and then
at
the
this.
First Indiana, season is at USC, at UCLA, at Oregon, at Washington, at Ohio State, and then you know what?
Yeah.
For the hell of it, the rest of your games are going to be on the road too.
Sure.
Something happened to Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, the geese took over or something. But I'm fully prepared for that. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, so I just don't think we can have any real legitimate discussions about how things are going to go, because I don't think we know what the teams and what the conference is going to look like. I would guess within the next couple of weeks, we will. And if I were placing bets, I would say that the Big Ten has 20 teams in it starting in 2024.
Yeah, I was spitballing it with you guys earlier with the 20 team, I guess, super conference or mega conference. You do four divisions, maybe two leagues, and yet I think you have to move it to a 10 game conference schedule, which I don't like. But that's the world you live in. You play the four in your division, three crossovers, and then maybe in order to get a conference champion, you do what the Big Ten did in 2020 with their quote champions week. And instead of making it 1 week, you do 2 weeks, and then you finally get, you know, the two, kind of like a mini playoff, you know, one versus one in each, two versus two, and then you go from there. The two winners go and play the next game, and then you figure out the rest. It's going to be complicated, and you lose schedule flexibility in your non-conference games, which I know all of us have talked endlessly about, but this is where it's going, and it's a massive amount of money. I think the big loser nationally overall is probably Kansas. I've had so many people, and Alex too on Twitter, so many people asking Kansas, the Big Ten. Kansas isn't going anywhere. They've been trying to get out of the Big 12 forever, and nobody wants them. They did what we fear IU's doing with their football program, is not investing in it, and nobody really cares about what Kansas basketball brings to the table, because they're not in a big media market. Kansas City is not a huge media market. And they just don't bring any value to that. So I think they're nationally the big loser, but I think in the Big Ten, it gets, depending on who your other four teams are, it's going to get really, really difficult. For Indiana, yeah. if scheduling breaks the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. A couple more thoughts I want to leave you guys with before I gotta hop off here. Overall, you know, I understand the history and the tradition of the Big Ten. This is a win for the conference. More eyes, more money. I don't care what anyone says. This is the way it was going when Texas and Oklahoma left last year and started this domino effect. Everybody said, you know, the Big 12 is going to crumble and it's going to be the Power Four against everybody else. It was always going to be two. It was always going to be two mega conferences controlled by either Fox or ESPN. SEC has ESPN. We have Fox now. And look, I think at this point, the conference has a ton of leverage. If you're not in the Big Ten or about to join the Big Ten or the SEC, I think you're going to be at a severe disadvantage in those major revenue sports. So I think it's a win for Indiana. It should make West Coast recruiting easier. More eyes, more dollars, I don't think has ever hurt. And then just kind of a last final thought, the image of Lincoln Riley taking the five-star, you know, loaded team of California kids into an 11 a.m. snowy kickoff in Evanston at Northwestern. That, you know, that's quite an image. Just quite a day. And, you know, our favorite sport, you know, college football, there's always something going on. So even when there's nothing to watch, always giving us something. So I'll leave you guys with that. And then my last thought would be, my dream ACC school would be Miami. I think that'd be a sneaky, cool ad, both from a market perspective and, you know, football, basketball ad perspective as well. But yeah, super cool, super exciting day for the conference and for Indiana, in my opinion. And of course, we'll have, you know, tons of content if there is an announcement or when there's an announcement on our site and how it affects IU. So guys, thanks. I got to hop off, and I look forward to hearing the rest of you guys' thoughts later.
All right. Thank you, Alex. That's Alex Compton. He does a lot of our stuff on Twitter and with our graphics on social media as well. The timing of this is going to be interesting on when they announce. Rumor has it that Kevin Warren's in London. I don't think he's recruiting Oxford and Cambridge, but it is a holiday weekend, TJ. Do you announce on Friday, so tomorrow, or do you wait until Tuesday to announce? It's a tricky, I think, PR timeline. Maybe they announce tomorrow or tonight, depending on, you know, how they do it. Maybe they make a formal announcement tonight with the press conference next week and things like that. So we'll see. Anyway, TJ, thanks for hopping on. Real emergency podcast. This might be our last year, maybe second to last year, doing a Pac-12 preview.
Yeah. I think the number of conference previews might be shrinking here in the not too distant future. You know, I'm very interested to see where this goes, because I don't think it's going to take long. Things are going to move very fast because the Big Ten's not the only conference looking. I think you're looking at kind of, you know, conference realignment comes in waves, right? And I think we're looking possibly at sort of the last big wave that's going to reshuffle the deck for the foreseeable future, with, I think, the logical next step of this is going to be the two mega conferences of the Big Ten and SEC. While depending on the moves that those two schools, that those two leagues make, you've got the ACC, Pac-12, and Big 12 kind of duking it out for survival to some extent. Now, that might not happen. The moves that get made might not happen, and the Big 12 and Pac-12 consolidate with each other and form a very good league that's, you know, formidable. Not quite on the level of the top two, but formidable. And the ACC hangs on to who it's got and is, you know, adds a couple from somewhere and is also formidable. And you've got four pretty good leagues with two that are sort of on top, but not, you know, not ridiculously so. There's not a gigantic gap, but I would bet that the SEC and Big Ten recognize the opportunity they have to really separate from the rest of the pack in terms of revenue. And I think we'll see that play out over the next couple of weeks. And we will certainly be here to cover it. And anything that breaks, we'll get it up. And I think the unique thing that we'll do is obviously focus on what this means for IU. You can go a lot of places to find out, you know, what this means for the college football landscape on the whole. We'll be one of the few places that's going to, here's what this could mean for Indiana specifically. But we'll touch on the other stuff too, obviously, because it's all entertaining and important. But and what it means to IU is going to be the main thing. It's intertwined, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm
fascinated by this.
Yeah, the main thing for IU that you could be excited about potentially playing on the West Coast and things like that. But I think the most important thing for IU at this moment is to see how much television revenue you're going to get and what the athletic department does with it to help support the football program. Because this TV deal, if people haven't realized it yet, they're going to realize that
all the value comes from football. Basketball has some value, but it's basketball is not bringing in $100 million a year. And this is not a basketball contract. This is a, these are football TV, TV rights contracts and all of those things. So I think it'll be a wake up call for IU fans, hopefully for the athletic department as well. Hey, we're getting double the money that we're getting. How are we going to use it? How are we going to keep up with the teams that we just added and to continue to add value to the conference and things like that? So when the next TV rights deal comes up, that you continue to get that money. So it's a great opportunity for IU. We'll see what happens scheduling wise, who else they add, but from a financial standpoint, it's a great opportunity.
Yep. Yep. All we know right now for sure, we think for sure, unless there's a gigantic curveball, is USC and UCLA are in the Big Ten, which brings the conference to 16 teams. Lots of speculation. Additional schools are being looked at, and possibly agreements have already been put in place. And we know for sure that a new television contract will be announced sometime soon. That's what we know for sure. And as things continue to develop, we'll cover it. But I think that it's going to be kind of a slow trickle of how this is going to be handled by the Big Ten, because logistically there's going to be a lot of questions that need answered. But what we know for sure is that the Los Angeles television market has been added to the Big Ten, and the ripple effect from that is going to change college sports.
Yeah, it will. And I think there'll be an announcement before Big Ten media days. It has to be, unless they're just PR dopes. Big Ten media days, July 26th. So I think you'll have something in place by then that they'll, you know, dance around at Big Ten media days. So I expect something. It'd be shocking if it came out after the holiday weekend. It sounds like all the people in the know say that it's going to come out today or tomorrow, within the next 24 hours of this recording. So probably before the long weekend. So TJ, thanks for hopping on. Appreciate your time. We will also have a Twitter Spaces tonight with Alex and I, and whoever else wants to jump on. We'll have all the updates on the website as well, especially when it becomes official. We'll get into some of the fun stuff on what games we'd look forward to, which teams, you know, get added and all those things. So thanks for joining us for a quick emergency podcast. We'll be back. Check HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. TJ, enjoy your holiday weekend. Safe travels. And we'll see what happens when we get back on the podcast here in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about. Yep. Thanks, everybody.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.